This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
So glad you're with us on NFL Live today. And in moments, the qualities we know well about Jalen Hurts that a couple of us here think will lead to success. Keyshawn Johnson, Dan Orlovsky here, Marcus Spears and Adam Schefter also with us today. We have a lot to get to. Let's begin with Schefty, the latest news around the league, starting with Tyreek Hill.
Well, Laura, Tyreek Hill did not practice today. He was home with an illness. The illness is not COVID-related, according to the Chiefs head coach, Andy Reid. But it is the first time that Hill has missed practice this season, and it does raise the question as to whether he'll be available for Sunday's big game against the Miami Dolphins. That's for the Panthers and their running back, Christian McCaffrey. He was limited to practice today, but not because of the shoulder injury that held him out of recent games, but because he has a quad injury that he's been nursing since last week that tightened up again today. His status for Sunday right now is iffy against the Denver Broncos. The Steelers running back James Conner was activated off the reserve COVID-19 list, meaning that he should be available for Sunday night's game against the Buffalo Bills. Conner, who was declared cancer-free in 2016, has tested positive, but he's now healthy enough to be off the list. And one player who did test positive last night was Dez Bryant. The NFL medical officer, Alan Sills, said today that the league has performed contact tracing, that there were a few people in proximity to Bryant, but they're in an outdoor environment. Nobody was exposed to Bryant for an extended period. They don't believe that it's anything to be overly concerned about, but the league is monitoring that right now, Laura.
Yeah, Adam, certainly a wild situation there. Pulled off the field pregame. More Adam Schefter coming your way. Let's get back to Tuesday Night Football with the finish of Week 13. Dan Orlovsky, we saw Lamar Jackson back in action for the Ravens against the Cowboys. Late first quarter, Cowboys lead here, and Jackson faking the handoff.
Yeah, just quarterback counter. Those linebackers, Leighton Vander Vesh, getting lost, and Lamar goes to pay dirt.
Let's go to the second quarter. Cowboys lead 10-7. Ravens possession, though, from the 38-yard line. How about Lamar Jackson to Miles Boykin here?
Yeah, commit to running the football and then commit to using play-action pass. It's awesome. You get those second-level defenders to jump up. The ball comes out of Lamar's hands on time. And then Boykin, fully extended, finds a way to get into the end zone.
That's when the Ravens would take the lead. They didn't look back. Let's go to the third quarter. Ravens leading by 7, and Jackson rolling out here. He's going to find Hollywood Brown, and this was a Hollywood throw and catch.
No doubt. This is something he's done this year, is create in the red zone. It's awesome. You're running full speed to your left. I love the reaction by Hollywood Brown. The eater, and then an absolutely perfect throw by Lamar Jackson. The right foot drag by Hollywood Brown. Awesome by both Lamar and Hollywood.
You know it's a good throw and catch when Keyshawn Johnson's making sound effects, Dan Orlovsky's making sound effects. 34-17 is the final. And it was a dominant ground attack for Baltimore, too. Well, it also allowed Lamar Jackson to go to work with 2 passing touchdowns off of play action. We just showed you a couple of those. As you can see, there's been quite a contrast between Lamar passing off play action and passing without it this season. He's completed 71% of his throws using play action, but that drops to just 59% without it. And listen, Key, I realize that it was the Cowboys, and that's just something that we have to say before we get into this, but it did look like the Ravens found a recipe for success offensively last night.
Well, look, I would say it's the same success that they had last year. Run the football and allow Lamar to make a few big throws down the field, and that's what he did. He dazzled us last year with the same sort of sauce, right? Dan, you know, one of the things that they like to do is they like to run the football, and right, that helps his play action. You mentioned 71%. That is true. But when you look at it overall, last year he was 66%. This year, slightly down, 1%, 65%. You can win this way. Sure. You can certainly win a Super Bowl this way if your defense is playing solid and sound, because what they do is portable. When you think about the teams that they got to play in the playoffs, cold weather, Cleveland's, Pittsburgh's, Kansas City, they can move on with that stuff.
I agree with that, Key, and no team looks as good as the Ravens when they can stay on schedule and continue to proceed with their game plan that they had going into the game. My concern is when you have to have a differing style. Like, we've talked about this before, but when you look at what Lamar Jackson's talent is, we know the Ravens for being able to run. They almost put 300 on Dallas last night. They put 260-plus on the Steelers, so they can run the ball against anybody. It's the pressure from the opposing offense. When they get behind, do they have that little extra in their passing game in order to try to come back from a lead when you need the clock as well as scores to be on your side? That's my issue. Look, this team is well coached. They are going to play well in all phases of the game. Harbaugh is going to have this team doing what they do best down the road. My only concern, which has been voiced before by others, what do the Ravens do when they have to drop back and throw the football and they just can't continue to churn out drives and sustained drives on the ground? That's my only issue. And if they can get ahead on people, probably the most devastating team in the league outside of Cleveland with the way they run the football and the Titans with Derrick Henry. The only issue is when they have to go the other way, Key. That's my number one question. Can they do it from behind?
What I would say, Dan, is don't get behind. You won't have to worry about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that helps, right? But these are some games that are going to matter a lot against really good competition. Dan, what did the Ravens teach you about the Cowboys?
Everybody's on the clock down in Dallas. Gee. Everybody, and that includes the head coach. I don't know how Jerry Jones can sit there right now and watch the Cowboys with Mike McCarthy and feel good about them when he's watching what's happening in Washington with Ron Rivera or in New York with Joe Judge. Like, listen, I get you're decimated by injuries. So are they. They're beat up, too. They're playing with their backup quarterback as well. By the way, the team that you played last night, they've been riddled by injuries as well. You look like a JV football team playing against the Ravens last night. And so there's no way that as this continues to spiral out, they got a month left of the season, and Mike McCarthy should be coaching for his job. I got some numbers to kind of frame into exactly what the Cowboys are right now. I want to get them right. They're 31st in point margin. That's only ahead of the New York Jets. They're 31st in efficiency. They're only ahead of the New York Jets. They're 31st in turnover margin. They're only ahead of the Denver Broncos. How is Mike McCarthy still feeling good about his job, and how does Jerry Jones still feel good about his job? Also, if they trend towards the number two pick in the draft, that's when it gets really interesting, because then do we re-sign Dak Prescott? Does Dak Prescott want to re-sign there? Who are we going to go get to go maybe mentor and develop the young quarterback that could be selected as two? So, listen, everybody in Dallas is on the clock right now.
Dan, those are damning numbers. But we got something else today that was just as embarrassing and humiliating to the Dallas Cowboys in this shameful season. And that is the fact that the Dallas Cowboys, who networks usually fight over to get on as many times as they possibly can, were flexed out of the Sunday night spot against the San Francisco 49ers in favor of the Cleveland Browns. Tell me the last time the Cleveland Browns have taken the Sunday night slot of the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, which loves to be on Showtime, prime time, whatever it may be. The Dallas Cowboys were flexed out of prime time today in favor of the Cleveland Browns and New York Giants. That right there typifies the season and tells you how low that team has fallen this season.
Can I interject something?
Yes, you can.
Drop this little mini bomb on NFL Live Wednesday. Dak Prescott should want out of Dallas. All right, and yeah. I've been holding out and saying that. I've been thinking about what they did offer him a contract and all of that. Dak Prescott should want to find a new spot to play football. Not only the disrespectful nature of what's been transpiring, but you look at this. What about this franchise tell y'all they gonna go in the right direction in the next 2 years? Like, how long does Dak Prescott want to be subjected to being in a position? First of all, you got a quarterback that we all see now worldwide that was the only living pulse that you had as a football team before he got injured. And the biggest indictment is you don't have a choice now but to look like you look. So that should want to go somewhere else.
Hey, Marcus, we got to go real quick here, but I have a feeling we've just scratched the surface on this topic.
Right.
The top of your head, where would he go? Where would Dak want to go?
It's a team on the West Coast with a coach named Kyle Shanahan and a GM named John Lynch.
Well, 49ers
that would love
action
to have Dak Prescott running that offense.
All
San Francisco 49ers, yeah.
All right, so we'll see what happens. And if that ends up being true, we'll bring this bomb back December 9th of 2020. We'll see what
ends up happening. Marcus, good job.
Yeah, it might, well, Adam.
It is
Adam,
what it is.
Adam, you got anything to add there? I got to let you go real fast if you do.
I'll say this. That's the very first time that I've heard Dak Prescott connected to the 49ers, but I like it.
Right. All right, Adam Schefter likes it, so that's great.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back here on NFL Live, let's get to the news of the week. It's Jalen Hurts time in Philadelphia, and Jalen Hurts will make his first NFL start Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. So welcome to the league, young man. You go against a really good defense. Carson Wentz will back up Hurts, and while this seems crazy to all of us, it's also kind of crazy to Doug Peterson.
I don't take Carson Wentz out of it. I didn't expect us to be in this situation back in April. So let's just start there. Listen, everybody around Jalen or around Carson has to elevate their game. We can't do this. They can't do this alone, right? They can't do that. It's impossible to attack, you know, an opponent with just one guy. So, but I fully expect our guys to go out, play hard, and you know, do everything they can to try and win.
And let me be perfectly clear here. What's become crazy about this is not the way that all of this went down, because it became very obvious that a quarterback change needed to be made. But just the fact that here we are in 2020 and we'll probably see Taysom Hill against Jalen Hurts in this game. Key, let's start with you. What do you think of the Eagles finally making this move?
Well, it's about time. I think we've, you know, a lot of the media around have been talking about this for weeks on top of weeks. But as they say, better late than never. And I think it's Jalen Hurts' job to lose. And I'm talking about long term. I think when you look at the situation, and I've been around a lot of quarterbacks in my time in organizations, and when you say, here's a guy who has an opportunity on a 2-3 game sample that he could take this job and make it his own, but he cannot beat Carson Wentz. What I mean by that is he cannot play like Carson Wentz. He has to play like the Jalen Hurts that was drafted in the top 50 picks in the National Football League, the guy that we saw at Oklahoma, the guy that we saw at a brief time in Alabama. If he does that and he can ignite this offense, then it's his job to lose come next offseason. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are looking for the same things, Dan. I think when you look at it, they say, okay, if Jalen does what he's supposed to do, we go into the offseason with a quarterback battle, OTAs, minicamp, training camp. Give the job to Carson Wentz, because that's what we're going to do, because you follow the money. And then you put Carson Wentz on a short leash. You say you got 2-3 games to prove yourself. And if not, we're going to snatch you in 21. It hurts his team. We're done with you. That is the way you do it.
Let's go to Marcus for a second here.
Yeah, listen, I want to make 2 points because I think a lot of what Keith said I like. Here's the thing. I don't think Carson Wentz is done in the NFL. He has too much talent not to have a chance. And if Baker Mayfield can turn a corner, y'all damn sure know I believe that Carson Wentz can turn one. Not only because I think he has elite type stuff from a physical standpoint, but also we've seen him play at a high level before. I know this makes Dan feel good, but I just got to be 100% honest. Here's the next thing, though. Jalen Hurts is not going to be your conventional backup guy that you can easily overtake. I'm telling y'all right now, Jalen Hurts took levels. When he was at Alabama early in his career, offensive player of the year in the SEC as a freshman, his anticipation and throwing the football was his biggest issue, and that was the part that got him benched for Tua Tagovailoa. But when Brian Daboll came into Alabama, we start seeing, Laura was on at SEC Network with me, we start seeing some of the progression of Jalen Hurts in the pass game. And then he goes on to be coached by Lincoln Riley, and Lincoln puts him in a system where quarterbacks have a lot of success. But do you all know that Jalen had he was responsible for more touchdowns than Kyler and Baker Mayfield? Don't trip if Jalen Hurts becomes a really good football player and is starting in this league. I don't know if it's Philly, it may be somewhere else, but he can be a starter and be good in this league.
Yeah, to that point, Lincoln Riley had even told me toward the end of his Oklahoma time that if he just had Jalen Hurts one more year, he could have improved him even that much more. Let's get back to that career a little more to keep you up to speed. Throughout 2010 and 2019 seasons, there were 10 Power 5 quarterbacks that were responsible for 50 or more touchdowns in a single season. Eight of those 10 went on to be selected in the first round of NFL draft. The two exceptions, Justin Fields, of course, still in college, but a projected top three pick, and Jalen Hurts, a second rounder in the fifth QB off the board in last year's draft. The greatness can't be denied when you look back to the college days. But, Dan, we see those numbers, and then you think about this Eagles offense. It's beat up right now. The O-line's beat up. The weapons have been lacking. How does Hurts play well?
I think the first thing that they got to understand is he's an RPO-based or an RPO-excelling quarterback. But you're going against the New Orleans Saints that are great in playing man coverage. Man coverage shuts down the RPO. So if they're going to do a ton of RPOs in Philly, the run-pass options, they've got to build in man-beating pass concepts tied to it. That's number one. Number two, they got to add to the quarterback run game. Like, this offensive line is beat up. So that will help the math when it comes down to, like, hey, they got an extra person down to the football. We will go quarterback run. They're going to have to be willing to do that 8 to 10 snaps. Number three, they've got to make sure he gets out of the pocket a ton. Again, bad offensive line, but that's what he was really good at Oklahoma. That's where he really took off, was getting outside the pocket and throwing the ball on the run. So there's a way. I don't want everyone to judge Jalen on this weekend's game.
Yeah.
Like, this is a massacre. This unit for Philly is decimated, and they're playing against a fantastic defense. So they got to give him the month to really see what he is and what he can be. That being said, and these are heavy words for me, I think, if he plays well and gets this team into the playoff picture in the next 3 or 4 weeks, the question of can you trade Carson Wentz becomes a way more realistic one because of how beat up this offense is. And if he plays good enough to get him into the final week of the season for a playoff spot, then that makes that question even more realistic.
Dan, I'm proud of you for getting there.
Dan, really quick, I want to ask you, have you ever seen a young franchise quarterback benched in the National Football League?
No. It's a good question, Key. Not in my recollection. I've also never seen a young franchise quarterback lead his team to the playoffs and then, you know, the next year, like the very next year, fall off a cliff with his performance. And everyone knows that I believe that quarterback performance is tied to who's around you and what the coaching's like and all that stuff. And we've gone to nauseam of that not being great in Philly. But the fact that his play has fallen so hard in the same year that they took a quarterback in the second round, I don't know if I've ever seen before.
It's a fascinating situation. We'll be fascinated to watch this game and see how Jalen Hurts performs. But I'm with you guys. Give him some time. And I think the Eagles will do that.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah. Pat's taking on the Rams at SoFi Stadium for Thursday night football action. We know about the Super Bowl loss, of course, but Jared Goff actually lost to the Patriots in 2016, too. Bill Belichick and his pass defense caused serious problems in both of those games for Goff, sacking him 8 times, limiting him to a QBR of just 13.6 with a completion percentage of 47%, both considered his worst marks against any other team in the league. So he's probably thinking, Dan, like, please don't make me play the Pats ever again.
Like every other quarterback.
Right, everyone was. That. But how does this Pats defense do well against Goff?
Yeah, well, if we're looking at what Goff's really started excelling over the past couple weeks, it's like the short passing game, getting the ball out and being super accurate. And then if you look at the Patriots defense, one, they've been a lot better since Gilmore got back and healthy. And how I think they'll play them is get their hands on. They are going to never allow these free releases where they're just going to, you got a shallow cross, you're getting hit. You're releasing vertical, you're getting hit. You're coming across the middle, they got eyes, right? So then that's going to throw off that timing of that quick passing game. Now, when the timing of the quick passing game is thrown off, that's when the antics of the defensive line get going. You're going to have to hold the ball a little bit longer. You can't get it out of your hands so quickly. And then look at the different levels it forces the offensive line to play on. This is a relatively fair offensive line for the Chargers, at least with protection-wise this year. So that's the challenge for the Rams, is okay? If the quick passing game is taken away by the physicality of the Patriot defense, do they feel good enough with playing drop-back football and trusting that their offensive line can pick up all those different stunts?
Well, y'all know I don't trust Jared Goff at all times, and I believe Bill Belichick humanizes Sean McVay. Look, we talk about Sean McVay and how great he is at drawing up and scheming and taking advantage of teams' weaknesses, creating leverage with the jet sweep motion. And we all, I think, agree that Sean McVay is a great offensive mind and a really good head coach. But Bill Belichick has had his number because Bill Belichick is going to force Jared Goff to beat him as opposed to all of the window dressing and the things that Sean McVay does. So, look, New England is a tough out now, people. I still don't think the offense is worth anything in New England. I still believe that this is things to be taken advantage of, obviously, in that regard. But when it comes, you starting to see Bill Belichick figuring out these schemes, taking one Sunday at a time to come up and devise a game plan to limit what these teams are doing against him. And like we showed the graphic, he's been better, not better against any more than he's been against Sean McVay and Jared Goff. So this boils down to what will Sean McVay be able to counteract what Bill Belichick is going to do. And remember this, before Key tees it up, there is a blueprint based on what Brian Flores did against Jared Goff with the Miami Dolphins, and we all know where Flores comes from.
You think about it, though, what Dan said and what you said, Marcus, you put that in a nice Christmas bag full of tricks for the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. This game is not about Sean McVay. Sean McVay could dial it up. He could give it to Jared Goff, but when it snaps, that's all Jared Goff. He's got to figure out the confusion, Dan. He's got to understand what Bill Belichick is trying to do to him in terms of mixing up the fronts, mixing up the coverages. I'm going to give you a little bit of man. I'm going to give you a little bit of zone. Yes, you can motion the bunch on the offensive side. You can motion the empty. You can motion the four wide. You can do all of the little cute stuff. In the end, my defense is going to be where they need to be. It's up to Jared Goff to decipher what to do with the football. You hold on to it too long, you're going to get hit in the side of your head.
I'm now imagining Bill Belichick dressed as Santa with a Christmas bag full of tricks, like, over his shoulder that nobody wants.
Nah.
Maybe there's coal in there. I don't know. Did you just say the Grinch?
He's cool this year, man.
He'd be more of a Grinch character.
No, not this year, Dan.
Like the Jim Carrey one.
Yeah, maybe. You know? This is crazy, though, guys. We have, like, an NFL game every single day now, but Week 14 starts tomorrow, and that game kicks it off. Time for some quarterbacking quick reads. Let's start with you, Key. Continue with the Patriots on Cam Newton.
Well, look, I know a lot of people were questioning Cam Newton about his ability to throw the football. Yes, he's been under 100 yards a couple times this year, but doesn't mean anything because in the end, he's winning the football game. He's doing exactly what the New England Patriots are asking him to do, which is come home with the W. That's all I care about, Dan. I see you out the corner of my eye with a
quip. I'll tell you what, King. I'm going to go to Sam Darnold. I think this is a huge month for Sam Darnold. You're healthy, okay? I want to see you make plays like this one from this past weekend. Everyone goes, this guy always panics with the football. You're hot. You want to go get it out of your hands, but you realize that guy's in your throwing lane. Never underestimate your ability to not throw the ball. You reset again. We've seen this all the time from Sam. That stupid interception. I love this decision right here. Don't make that throw. Use the athleticism and get down the field. Make consistent decisions over the next month like that. You're going to be a hot commodity in the offseason.
All right, caller, there's a formula that people are trying to play against you. Now where's the adjustment? Made a couple good throws against the team that you played recently, but it hasn't been consistent enough. The dynamic legs need to come back, need to be implemented into this offense. Cliff Kingsbury is responsible for making sure that Kyler Murray is put in a good situation, but Kyler Murray, without that dynamic playmaking ability, what are you?
Well, Daniel Jones was limited in practice today due to the hamstring injury that prevented him from playing Sunday at Seattle. But the Giants are optimistic that Jones will be able to return and start Sunday's game against the Arizona Cardinals, which would mean Colt McCoy goes back to the bench and the Giants would get back their starting quarterback. It's looking like it goes that way, but the Giants also want to see how Jones gets through a week of practice with that hamstring injury hindering him. As for Drew Brees, again, he is eligible to now come off the injured reserve list. He began doing light throwing some last week, and he's still hopeful that he could be back this week potentially against the Philadelphia Eagles, but the Saints don't have any rush to get him back out there right now against the Eagles. Keep in mind, Saints-Chiefs next week. And so if they can get Breeze and his 11 fractured ribs and punctured lung a little extra rest with Taysom Hill continuing to impress, that might be ideal. We'll see how the Saints handle it in the coming days.
Hey, here's the thing, Adam. We had all the quarterback news we needed with a really festive drum beat in the background there. These guys are vibing in here.
I don't know
who does the music for this show, but that was money, and it really got us rolling in here. All right.
Battle of the bands.
Oh, my goodness.
You remember the dude in Drumline?
The Bucks. Well, this is a battle in the Bay. The Bucks taking on the Vikings. Look at this. On the sides, you're going to see the ships, and you got the quarterbacks on top of their respective ships. Shout out to our graphics team, our AD for this, because that was beautiful. Take me to the Bay. All right, anyway, it is going to be really interesting to see what happens in this game. We got strength versus strength with Dalvin Cook squaring off against the Bucks defense. And while Cook leads the NFL in yards after contact, 10-yard rushes, and touchdowns, the Bucks rank in the top five in each of those categories in their own right. And so while no back has had more than 60 yards against Tampa this season, Dalvin's already had six 100-yard games. We'll keep this pirate music going if we can. Key, what's the key for the Vikings beating the Bucks if they're able to do it?
Well, I think it's just simply you try and run the ball. You don't have to get as many yards. It's the attempts. It's all about the attempts. How many attempts can you get? And then from there, play action pass. And I think a lot of people get caught up in the yards in a game, not the attempts. When you have play action, a play action system, you need the attempts so you can get the guys like Thielen open downfield in the middle of the field or Jefferson in the middle of the field, because the linebackers suck up. If the linebackers are just dropping, the passing game goes completely away. If you keep them honest and keep them going toward the line of scrimmage, opposed to on their heels and into the secondary, you win. What happens with offensive coordinators, Dan, and you know this, having played quarterback, they get impatient. They we're not getting yards, and they get away from it. I learned a long time ago with Bill Parcells and Curtis Martin. The first thing he said is, I don't care how many yards he's getting. Give him the attempts. If we got 30 attempts for 60 yards, so what? Guess what? We'll get it later on down the line.
I like it.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Key, I'm 100% with you. And look no further than what they did against the Chicago Bears, which at the time was a comparable defense to the one that they're going to face. They handed the ball off to Dalvin 30 times. They just gave it to him 32 times against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Here's the thing. This is about Lavonte David, Devin White, and Antoine Winfield Jr. on the defensive side for Tampa Bay. They know that Minnesota is going to try to establish the run, and either you can let Dalvin Cook wreck the game by what he does on the ground, and or these three guys be who we know him to be for the majority of the season, and they make those plays. They make those one-on-one tackles in the hole. Winfield Jr. gets Dalvin Cook on the ground before he breaks off a 60-yard run. So that's what's important to me. That's what I'm looking for. But I 100% agree with Key. You cannot get away from giving Dalvin Cook the attempts, not only because it makes the defense think about it, but you have the ability, and based on what he's done throughout his career, one of them are going to pop if you give him enough opportunity. So I'm looking forward to seeing those matchups. These are two of the better linebackers in the NFL, and their responsibility in this game is heightened because of what you all just said about the play action with Kirk Cousins, and especially getting Dalvin Cook limited on the ground.
Yeah, I think this Tampa Bay defense will play well, but all eyes on their offense. They're just coming off of their bye week. I think it was 2016, I was with Detroit, and we had our bye week like eighth week of the year, and we were playing bad on offense. We had no rhythm. We were doing a ton of stuff that I didn't think we should be doing, certainly, and our starter didn't think it as well. And so we go into the bye week, and it was a ton of, like, self-scouting. Like, everyone needs to understand that during a season, you can't make a ton of adjustments week by week by week. You're so focused on game planning, putting a game plan together to beat your opponent. When you get into the bye week, it's a ton of self-scouting, watching tape. What are we doing? Analytics play a big part of it. What are we doing well? What are we not doing well? What do we need to do more of? And I want to see if Tampa Bay did that. I want to, because that's what we did in 2016. We actually went 7-1 in our last eight games. We played a lot better offensively. And so I want to see, did they realize that they need to use more motion? That they, we saw the graphic for Kirk Cousins. Brady was third when it came to play action pass success. I want to see if they're going to utilize more play action. I want to see if they're going to use more 12 personnel, put two tight ends on the field. So I'm all eyes on seeing if the week off, if they did the requisite self-scouting to really make their Super Bowl run. Because if they didn't make any changes, I can't be fully bought into thinking that they can make that run.
Yeah, you've got to think that that was the time when we finally had the Bruce Arians, Tom Brady conversation, whatever it looked like, of like, hey, Tom going in and being like, this offense doesn't look like what I thought it would. We've kind of been waiting for that and waiting for him to have more ownership of it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That game is where we'll start our AFC playoff picture quick reads. Key, you start.
I wonder if Baker Mayfield can bounce back. If you go back to week one, 38-6, they lose that football game. Baker Mayfield is 21-39 for a bucket, some change, an interception, and a touchdown. Can he bounce back? Can we see Baker that we've seen of late against the Baltimore Ravens? If so, they'll win the football
game. Let's go, Bake!
Oh, man.
Listen, man. Colts, Las Vegas Raiders, what are you going to do? We've been up with the ebbs and flows, this roller coaster ride. We're looking really, really good as a football team and a playoff contender, and then you lay eggs. Las Vegas, you just escaped against the New York Jets because Greg Williams decided to not give a damn about winning the game. And Indy, please put together a couple really good performances in a row so we can see you as contenders.
Yeah, Tua's strength is starting to show itself. It certainly did in the second half last week. I love this play against Cincinnati because it shows me the football 501 strength of his. You got cover three from the defense. Corner goes high, safety in the middle field. That's your flat defender. He's the important guy and hook defender because that linebacker is going to blitz. Now, what's the play? It's Sale. It's a post. It's a corner route and a flat route. I got to, as a quarterback, get that flat defender that I mentioned to buy what I'm selling. I got to try to sell to him with my body, my eyes, my shoulders. I'm going to take that flat route to open up that corner out behind him. That's exactly what Tua does. Look at his shoulders right now. Totally committed to that flat route. I got to get that ball out with one hitch on time, firm into that little window. That little nuance is starting to show up for Tua, and he's going to continue to play well for that Dolphins football team.
You see it on your screen. This is what the AFC playoff picture looks like. The Dolphins right there in the thick of things, holding on to one of three wild card spots in the AFC, along with the Browns and the Colts. They'll have to fend off the Raiders, Ravens, and Patriots the rest of the way. For the Chiefs, they've already clinched a playoff spot, and they're now setting their sights on securing that top seed and first-round bye, especially important this year. And according to our Football Power Index, the Steelers are actually not the favorite to secure the AFC's one seed anymore. That would be the Chiefs. But with a win over the Bills on Sunday, another big game, Week 14, their chances would improve to 67%. Here's Big Ben.
They're a really good football team. They're playing with a lot of confidence. They've got an MVP caliber quarterback who's playing at that level. They've got some defenders that are just taking the ball away every single time the ball's thrown their way.
You know, I'd argue to say he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. So obviously I'm very humbled to be even named in the same conversation as him. They're a really good defense. You know, and they're fun to watch. Obviously when we're not playing, I like watching them because looks like they just have a great time, you know, playing the game.
All right, so lots of respect being thrown out ahead of this one. But, Key, is this a statement for the Bills? I know, blah, blah, blah. Go ahead, Key.
Well, Marcus was saying something. But, yes.
Statement game for the Bills.
This is a statement game for the Bills. And I know Dan Orlovsky loves Josh Allen, blah, blah, blah. That's true. There's no question about it. And he is playing great football. But when you look at it, what's the statement game? Like, This is a Sunday night game against a mad Pittsburgh Steelers team that went out and lost to Washington. So when you look at the statement games, you talk about the Bills winning. Who have they beaten? Okay, so I got this right here. They beat the Raiders, which is somewhat of a Jekyll and Hyde team. You look at Seattle, not a great road team. The Rams, too early in the season. They beat the Pats. If Cam Newton puts that football in his left arm instead of his right, they probably lose that football game. They lose to the Cardinals, the Chiefs, and the Titans. I would say those are pretty decent football teams. So this particular game, just like the Cleveland Browns against the Tennessee Titans, you got to go out there and win this game on a big Sunday night to prove to me and to yourself that you are for real in the AFC. What are you laughing at, Dan?
We'll get to that in a second. Marcus, you go ahead.
I like what you're cooking, Key. Here's the thing. I think Buffalo will travel well, man. I looked at that team, and obviously there will be some differences to this Pittsburgh game, especially up front where they can get after the passer. But the way Josh Allen operated with Cole Beasley and you saw Stephon Diggs doing his thing, you think this has to carry over. But I'm with Key. It has been some instances of Jekyll and Hyde with the Buffalo Bills. This would be that signature win. This would be, this is the second best team in the AFC for sure, stamped. This will be the conversation will start to creep in. Okay, we see some things that could be effective against the Kansas City Chiefs. Can they go toe-to-toe offensively? You look at the back end with these corners. Now, Levi Wallace gave up quite a bit to Ayuk in the past game, but I'm looking forward to seeing this matchup, and I'm with Key. I think Buffalo can make a statement, but don't walk in there thinking the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be the same team that we saw play the Washington football team either.
Go ahead, Dan. You can go now.
Well, listen, and now let me just tell you one thing, Key and Marcus, before Dan goes. He's over here taking notes on everything you're saying, and he heard all your hate. So, Dan, how are you going to let him hate on the Bills?
I'm about to come at Keyshawn like a spider monkey right now. Like, dude, they got 9 wins.
What?
They have 9 wins. 6 of their 9 wins are against teams in the playoffs right now. They have 2 wins against teams that don't have winning records. Signature wins. They got seven of them.
Dan, early. They beat the Rams early.
They got early. So that doesn't matter anymore?
Playing great.
The Rams have been playing good football here.
They were playing great.
Oh, my goodness.
Come
what
on,
do you got to do?
Stop.
And then 20 minutes ago, you said, Cam Newton's not, it doesn't matter that he's throwing for 90 yards a game because he's winning.
No.
Josh Allen's like third in the MVP voting, and it's not good enough for you.
No. Here's what I would say. Winning is important. This is a signature game. Cleveland was winning, but we all sat up there and said, what is Cleveland doing? Okay, they got to go out there and they got to beat Tennessee to show us that they are for real. All I'm saying
We've
is
We've been
Buffalo,
saying that about Buffalo all year, though. This is a signature season.
No.
This is a signature season for them.
Go out there and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers on a Sunday night when the world is watching.
And I thought, I said 3 weeks ago that I thought the Buffalo Bills, 4 weeks ago, were the best team, the most equipped team to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And I said that they would beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. I thought they would be the first team to beat Pittsburgh. They can be explosive on offense. They're going to put those receivers in the slot, work at those linebackers. Bud Dupree not being there showed itself against the Washington football team. Both in the pass rush and in coverage. They would trust him to play.
Go, Marcus.
You'll be able to say something Monday.
You have to agree that this will be a signature win for Buffalo, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I'm saying, dog. But, of course, they're playing a team that has 1 loss. Of course it's a signature win. But you can't say this would be a signature win, but then discredit all the other signature wins they've had all year.
There ain't been no signature wins all year long, man.
You can't have a signature win in week three.
The best part is that was apparently Dan being a spider monkey. All right, Cowboys VP Stephen Jones on 105.3 The Fan Radio in Dallas this morning said, I think we've got good football players. It's just right now we're not just executing. There's a similar group of guys out on that field who last year weren't that inefficient against the run. I'm convinced we can get the job done. We bring this up because earlier in the show, Marcus Spears said that he thought Dak Prescott should want out of Dallas and throughout the 49ers as a possible destination. I want to get the other guys in on this. Key, what do you think about Dak maybe leaving Dallas and going somewhere else?
I mean, I really can't see it, but I understand what Marcus is saying and going to a San Francisco 49ers team that probably will be looking for another quarterback. I think it could potentially be there, but, I don't know, man. What I would say, though, is they got to look at the head coach and that coaching staff before they start thinking about players leaving and coming and going.
Yeah, they were 8-8 last year. I don't know what you're talking about, Jerry Jones. I'm going to give you 4 teams. Indianapolis Colts. I could absolutely see them. And I want to preface it with this. I should have said this. If they get the second pick in the draft, I think this becomes an incredibly likely situation for the Dallas Cowboys. So Indianapolis Colts, I think that we could throw in the Chicago Bears and the Jacksonville Jaguars, especially if they can lure Dan Mullen out of Gainesville, who is his college coach. And the last one, New England Patriots.
Wow. All right, Marcus, I'll give you the last word.
Super Bowl contenders on the West Coast. Dak Prescott's significant upgrade with what the 49ers have right now. And if you want to look for a franchise that has stability.
Yeah.
The San Francisco 49ers is that franchise. They are in no rush and ain't no time soon. They moving on from Shanahan or Lynch. And he would make them different.
Yeah, can't leave this show without Keyshawn balling up a piece of paper, throwing it at Dan. Now Dan's going to try to throw it back to Keyshawn. All right, come on, let's see it. You
caught it.
Barely caught it.
Go to the replay.
Oh, my goodness.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.